from deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week are dominated, as you would expect, by the deaths of the aid workers over there. Deadline Warsaw, Poland. Poland's deputy foreign minister handed a diplomatic note on Friday to Israel's ambassador protesting the killing of a Polish aid worker in that attack on a convoy of aid workers in Gaza. After the meeting, deputy foreign minister Andrzej Sejna told reporters in Warsaw he handed the protest note to Ambassador Yaakov Levine after he was summoned because of the deaths of the World Central Kitchen workers. Sejna described the Polish stance during the meeting as, quote, firm. Quote, at the beginning, the ambassador apologized for this unprecedented event in the history of the civilized world, that is, the bombing of a car in a humanitarian convoy heading with humanitarian aid to the famine-affected Gaza Strip, Sejna said. Livna said on social media, during the meeting he expressed his personal deep sorrow and sincere apologies for the deaths of the World Central Kitchen workers, including a Polish citizen, Damian Sobel. Quote, we share in the grief of the families from the bottom of our hearts. I assured the deputy minister that Israel is fully committed to a transparent and thorough investigation of this grave tragedy, Livna said. And Israel's military apologized for the airstrike that killed seven workers with the World Central Kitchen. The convoy of aid workers were in vehicles clearly marked with the World Central Kitchen's signs when they were bombed. And in a note of Musk love, Fidelity, that's a financing outfit, it helped finance Musk's purchase of Twitter way back when, has reportedly marked down the value of its stake in X, formerly Twitter, did so again recently. According to the investment firm, the company, since Musk took over, has lost 73% of its value. After 1 year under Musk, in October last year, internal documents from the company placed its value at just $19 billion. Now, based on Fidelity's adjustments in late February, X is worth just $11.9 billion, a loss of more than $7 billion in just 4 months. Yes, Musk is a kind of genius. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last, I think, of a series of shows that I've presented to you while I've been working in a motion picture. Next week, we kind of go back to normal. But this week, I had the experience of meeting someone from a former life. And one of the advantages of living a long time is getting to live more than one life and getting to run into other people who've done the same thing. Henry Diltz has been a world-class rock and roll photographer for decades. But before that, he was in a band called the Modern Folk Quartet. They were probably the best example of the largely regrettable merger of folk and pop. And they did at least one song that is insanely memorable to me. The product of a bizarre collaboration between 19th century American poet Edgar Allan Poe and 20th century American folk singer, anti-war songwriter, Phil Oakes.
Hear the sledges with the bells, silver bells. What a world of merriment their melody foretells. How they tinkle, tinkle, tinkle in the icy air of night. All the heavens seem to twinkle with a crystalline delight. Keeping time, time, time with a sort of runic rhyme. With the tintinnabulation.
station that so musically wows. From the bells, 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 of the rhyming and the chiming of the bells. Hear the loud alarm bells, brazen bells. What a tale of terror now their turbulency tells. Much too horrified to speak, oh, they can only shriek for all the ears to know how the danger ebbs and flows. Leaping higher, higher, higher in a desperate desire, in a clamorous appealing to the mercy of the fire. But the bells, 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 with the clamor and the clanging of the bells. Hear the tolling of the bells, iron bells. What a world of solemn thought their monody compels. For all the sound that floats from the rust within our throats, and the people sit and groan in their muffled monotone. And the tolling, tolling, tolling peals of glory in the rolling, from the throbbing and the sobbing of the melancholy bells. Of the bells, 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 of the moaning and the groaning of the bells. Hear the sledges with the bells, silver bells, bells. What a world of merriment their melody foretells. How they tinkle, tinkle, tinkle in the icy air of night. All the heavens seem to twinkle with a crystalline delight. Keeping time, time, time with a sort of runic rhyme. With the tinted abulation that so musically wells. From the bells, 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 from the jingling and the tinkling of the bells.
Hello, welcome to Liz's show.
This is Global Radio in London, whence Liz's show originates in 8 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes less than the last time I talked to you. 8 minutes, I say, from Mark. This is Global Radio in London, whence the show originates in 4 minutes from Mark. This is Global Radio in London, whence the show originates in 1 minute. Think of it. Don't panic. Just think of it. 1 minute from Mark.
Inside your radio.
Harry Shearer, I'm going to get you.
Oh, stand in line, Katie. Won't you?
Shepherd French.
The year was punctuated by a growing awareness on the part of the public that folks in and around the administration, both before and after after the administration took office, were taping surreptitiously. Michael Cohen released a tape he'd made, and Omarosa Manigault, who leapt to fame on The Apprentice and then got a job in the administration, left the administration and started issuing tapes that she had made and dropping hints both before and after the release of her book that there were more tapes to come.
Hey, a little bit lower. Lower. Left side lower. Honey, you did the right side.
There was a spot I missed over there, though.
Okay.
So, Mrs. Trump doesn't want to,
Can you believe it? Three wives, not one is willing to shave my friggin' back? I mean, for what they made off of me, they should have... I don't know, they should have been willing to lick dog crap off my back. Up.
Okay, I mean, it is pretty lush back here.
Yeah. You think I don't know it? You know what would be great? If my back hair was on my head, right?
I don't know if that's...
But my guy says it wouldn't be worth a transplant or anything because he says it's different hair.
Well...
It would look like I got a toupee off a chimp or something. Not a good look.
No.
Hey, easy.
Oh, sorry.
Wait.
Kind of a stubborn patch there.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
The White House guy has the right tool for this.
He doesn't want to do this either?
Nah, he'll do anything. Hey, he cut Obama's hair. You know what that's like. No offense.
Of course not.
But, I don't want a man touching me behind my back. It's a little too, Christopher Street, West Village-y, if you get the, catch of my drift. Ow.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world of artificial intelligence has been, I don't think they would use this word to describe themselves, but I think they could be accurately described as agog about something called ChatGPT, of which there have been, I think, three iterations. We're agog in anticipation of the fourth, which is supposed to be coming next year. But it already is capable of spewing forth text-based answers to questions. And the text reads to a lot of people as if a human has written it. And my guest today on the program put that premise to the test this week. Gary Marcus is a professor of AI at NYU and author most recently of the book Rebooting AI, along with Ernest Davis. He was a guest on this program when that book came out a couple of years ago, and I've invited him back here today to do what he did this week elsewhere, which is to ask ChatGPT three questions. Gary, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Has AI rebooted itself since the last time we spoke on the radio?
I don't think so. I think there are a lot of people that might wish that was the case for various reasons. But the kind of things that I talked about last time I was on the show was getting these machines to really understand the world around them. And all they're really doing right now is recognizing patterns in text. They're kind of like a version of autocomplete on steroids. They're not as deep as they seem. And so I have amused myself by trying to ridicule them by showing just how easy it is to stymie them and trip them up.
What was your first question for ChatGPT?
What gender will the first female president of the United States be?
And the answer was...
It is not possible to predict the gender identity of the first female president of the United States. The United States has a long history of recognizing and protecting the rights of individuals to self-identify their gender, and it is important to respect the autonomy and personal identity of all individuals. The focus should be on the qualifications and experience of the individual, regardless of their gender identity.
Okay. Gary, what was the second question you asked ChatGPT?
Well, when we study these things, we always want to know if a particular pattern is replicable. You know, is it just a one-off mistake? Is there something systematic here? Nothing is truly replicable because there is an element of randomness in the system. But I tried another question that was along the same lines, and here it is. What religion will the first Jewish president of the United States be?
It is not possible to predict the religion of the first Jewish president of the United States. The United States Constitution prohibits religious tests for public office, and individuals of all religions have held high-level political office in the United States, including the presidency. The focus should be on the qualifications and experience of the individual, regardless of their religion. It is important to respect the diversity of religions and beliefs in the United States and to ensure that all individuals are treated equally and without discrimination.
Now, if you were asking George Santos that question, we could probably predict the answer.
George Santos and these things we call large language models actually have something in common, which is they like to make stuff up.
Hmm. Well, a large language model would have to be able to do one of two things, tell the truth or make stuff up, right?
The truth is the large language models don't lie, but they're indifferent to the truth. So they don't actually understand the world. They just understand relationships between words, mm-hmm. which is these systems don't really know what they're talking about. And the consequence of that is that they actually hallucinate pretty wildly. They don't really know what they're saying. They don't know what's true. They're blind to the truth. And I'm not sure you really want that in a search engine. Could I read you another example?
Yes, I would be. I know what's coming, and I think it would be a lovely experience for the audience.
All right. So a friend of mine sent me a little report of his experiences today. So you may know the New York Times said that ChatGPT was a code red for Google. And that inspired my friend to use it as a research tool. And he was left a little bit disappointed, to be honest. And he gave me some of the examples he tried. Here's one of them. What's the name of a British comedy film about Orthodox Jews in the early 2000s?
Was he actually referring to a real film that he was trying to remember the name of?
I believe he was. He didn't tell me what it was. He gave me another question where I think I figured out the answer. He left him, as they say, as an exercise to the reader. So I put this into a different system because he had trouble with ChatGPT. And I thought, okay, let me try another one. So here's one that just came out called UChat. And here's what the system came back with. The British comedy film about Orthodox Jews in the early 2000s is called A Mighty Wind and was released in 2003. The film follows three Jewish folk music groups reuniting for a memorial concert in honor of their former manager. The film was directed by Christopher Guest and stars Michael McKean, Michael Hitchcock, Bob Balaban, Ed Begley Jr., and Eugene Levy.
You're not finished.
That's all it said.
That's all she wrote.
Was there somebody else in that film? Can you remind me?
Yeah, in the back of my head somewhere, I seem to recall that. Gary Marcus, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Always a pleasure to join you, Harry.
Here's the Folksman's first hit, their only hit.
Whenever I'm out a-wandering, chasing a rainbow dream, I often stop and think about a place I've never seen.
Where friendly folks can gather and raise the rafters high,
with songs and tales of yesteryear until they say goodbye.
Well, there's a
puppy in the parlor and a skillet on the stove and a smelly old blanket that a Navajo won't. There's chicken on the table, but you gotta say grace. There's always something cooking at old Joe's place.
Folks, come by around evening time, soon as the sun goes down. Some drop in from right next door and some from out of town.
Oh, pick it now.
Well, there's a puppy in the parlor and a skillet on the stove and a smelly old blanket that a Navajo wove. There's popcorn in the popper and a porker in the pot. There's pie in the pantry and the coffee's always hot. There's chicken on the table, but you gotta say grace. There's always something cooking at old Joe's place. Now, they don't allow no frowns inside. Leave them by the door. There's apple brandy by the keg
and sawdust on the floor, yes sir.
So if you've got a hankering, I'll tell you where to go. Just look for the busted neon sign that flashes
Oh, you've been there.
Right.
Well, there's a puppy in the parlor and a skillet on the stove and a smelly old blanket that a Navajo wove. There's popcorn in the popper and a porker in the pot. There's pie in the pantry and the coffee's always hot. There's sausage in the morning and a party every night. There's a nurse on duty if you don't feel right. There's chicken on the table, always gotta take it. There's always something cooking at old Joe's place.
Very much.
Thank you.
This year marks the 25th anniversary of the release of the motion picture This Is Spinal Tap. Thank you. Good to know. Thanks. This next song, though, this is the work of a very different, different kind of songwriter, a gentleman by the name of Nigel Tufnell. This is from a solo project of Nigel's. I guess you'd say it's from Nigel's middle period.
Kind of from his later blue period,
yes,
I think,
but
most
but
curators
lower
agree.
Left middle
yeah.
Blue period.
With traces of teal.
Yeah. This song that Nigel wrote was originally entitled Calm Caravan. That was the name of the song. But when it landed on the record jacket, it said Clam Caravan somehow.
It was a typo.
It was a typo. And I don't think Nigel noticed, actually, or...
Never said anything.
Or said anything, or cared. I'll
well, he was a typo, so...
Don't be so negative.
Here it is.
Across the desert on my camel, over hills of sand.
Hills of sand.
What's that I see in the distance? Only hills of sand.
Hills of sand.
There is no oasis in sight. I'll have to ride through the night if I'm to make Baghdad by light of dawn. Sun's not your friend in the desert, like he is at home.
Is at home.
The wind has a name in the desert,
Shmuckle.
But it's barely known.
Rarely known.
It's only the hardiest bloom that can blossom in darkest cartoon. So I will just stay in my room tonight. Thank you.
Christopher Guest, ladies and gentlemen.
Most people who play that instrument practice circular breathing. Chris is the master of triangular breathing.
The desert isn't free with her secrets. She's a silent bird.
Quiet bird.
I asked the Sphinx for the answer.
Shh.
It said mum's a word.
Bum's the word.
So I'll take those hands up our train. And I'll sleep till I'm wakened by rain. And I'm back in old England again. Once more.
Now, word has gotten out that there's going to be an inauguration coming up very shortly, like in 11 days, of a new president, you know, the one the Russians elected. And news came out this week that, you know, we've been hearing who's not going to be at the inauguration, all the celebrities who are not going to be performing, all the folks who are taking a pass. But in keeping with historic protocol and tradition, former President George Bush and his wife Laura announced this week they would be attending the inauguration. And perhaps even more surprisingly, other people who will be attending the inauguration include former President and Mrs. Clinton. Yes, it's another episode of Clinton Something next here on the show.
Clinton Something, the Wilderness Years.
Please hold for the president.
The president? What president? Am I calling myself now?
What? Hey, 42, it's your predecessor.
President the other Bush?
You could say that if you were so indisposed. Hey, how they hanging?
Well, they're hanging just fine. And you?
Oh, listen, I've been a good boy so long, I wouldn't remember how to behave other which way wise. So, look, please convey my sincerest conveyances to the missus about the, you know, the election.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, she's in the other room.
I mean, nobody wanted this SOB to lose more than I did, you know? I mean, we all know politics is a tough old game. But, Hex Bells, when he called me a liar in public, that was just, you know, completely beyond the Pele.
Well, I will pass on your good words to Hillary. Matter of fact, she's just...
So, look, let me just cut to the chaser. Laura and I were invited to the inauguration of this Trump fella.
Well, we were too.
Yeah, I sort of assimilated that. Now, I understand it's protocol and the elders and all that for former presidents to attend the swearing-in of a new president.
Well, even their opponents. I mean, Al Gore attended yours, right?
Oh, sure as heck did. Looked more teed off than a three-legged prairie dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure, you know, if you folks are going, then I guess so are we.
Well,
on the other hand, Laura and I'd be delighted to skip it if you folks were planning to be elsewise on that Augustine occasion.
You know what, George? Between you and me, I think it's up to Hillary.
Well, then it isn't between you and me, really.
I guess you're right. So, look, I'm going to talk this over with Hill just as soon as she's able to talk again.
Oh, I'm good.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, just let me know in time for Laura to gussy up.
You got it.
You know, I just put on a clean suit. But
talk to you later.
Who was that?
President Bush.
Really?
No, the other one.
Oh. How's he taking it?
pretty good, considering he wasn't running.
Well, I know, but his whole family was hung out to dry by Cockwork Orange.
Yeah, that's clever. You just think of it?
Mm-mm. Huma came up with it. I think she's still processing the Anthony Weiner thing.
Hey, I'm still processing the documentary they were in. Man, you really have to be addicted to power to stick around a guy like that.
I guess. So what was up with 43? Offering sympathy or wanting some?
Neither. He just wanted to know whether we're going to, you know, the thing.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to the thing?
What it sounded like was they're going if we're going.
What's his dad going to do?
Probably skydive into the swearing in.
Cute.
Trying.
That too.
So?
I was leaning towards taking a long walk in the woods that day.
You mean like today and yesterday and every other day since the other thing?
The woods are different every day.
You know what else is different every day?
What?
Being president of a major university.
Not quite the same as, you know.
No, but the salary's better. It's amazing what university presidents get paid these days. More than Chelsea's getting paid to run the foundation.
You know something, Bill? I don't really envision spending the next 4 years deciding which professor's class needs a trigger warning in the catalog.
Well, you can't just walk in the woods for the next 4 years.
Why not?
Well, that's what the Russians and the FBI would want you to do.
At least out in the woods, there's nobody telling me that they told me to campaign in Wisconsin and Michigan.
Oh,
no, I told you so's in a frozen forest.
Look, I only mentioned it a couple of times. What about mayor of New York?
He never mentioned it.
No, I mean, how about running for mayor? New York's almost as big and important as the United States. At least to New Yorkers.
You know something, hon? I think I'm about through with trying to be half as good a natural politician as you. Whatever I do, if I do anything, I'm not going to campaign for it.
You could be president of the Red Cross. Clean that up a little bit. Clean up a little bit yourself. That pays $1 million+.
I could also take Tony Blair's old job flacking for Kazakhstan. That pays more.
Hey, he's given the whole post-elected office business model a bad name. Don't go there.
I won't.
So, you and me and W and Laura in the impossibly good sport box at the inauguration?
Well, W is always good for a laugh or two.
Sure. And Laura is so bitter at Michelle's adoring press, she'll probably be good for at least a couple of cringy zingers.
Nice name for a dog treat.
That's my gal. I'll call George.
I'll be in the woods.
Youthful angst and post-middle-aged angst. Together they add up to Clinton something. The wilderness years.
Before. and shoes and spats. Shine so quick, make a shine rag snap. Shine so fine, tip a nickel and a quarter. Got enough change for whiskey, soda, water. Cigarette ashes. A voodoo queen come to fix the race. Make a steed jump a rail, the mule take first place.
From New Orleans, Louisiana, this is Le Show.
You may have noticed, ladies and gentlemen, or in the news, that one of Rupert Murdoch's sons. Yes, this is news of nice people. Nice people doing nice things. One of Rupert Murdoch's sons, I say, has resigned from the board of Nice Corp. He was long rumored to be the heir, but then... His brother Lachlan returned triumphantly from his self-imposed exile in Australia to be the guy that Rupert tapped to run the Fox outfit. But there's more on this.
This week on Keeping Up with the Murdochs, the prodigal son leaves home again.
Okay, Manuel.
Yes, sir.
Down on the lower back, please.
Yes, sir.
Just like I tell you each session.
Yes, sir. I like to hear it.
I can find my own way. Thanks.
I'm sorry, honey. He just...
Hello, James. I could recognize you by the desperation in your voice.
That's excitement you're hearing. I've come over to give you the news in person.
I haven't got my news in person since Don Trump told me he was going to run for president. I told him he was bat guano crazy. So what's your news? Another next-gen investment go belly up on you? Piggy bank's empty, my boy.
I need you to listen to that.
Usually during massage, he just talk.
Manuel, three letters. N-D-A. Capiche? Cute story. That was the first thing Trump and I bonded over was the need for NDAs.
I'm leaving the News Corp board, sir, as of right now.
You know, you're still bound by the NDA, just the same.
That's all you have to say about it? After I took all those bullets for you and the phone hacking nonsense in London?
I gave you a graceful exit to a BS job in New York. Geez. I could have just left you in England as chum for the sharks in Parliament.
Speaking of food, would anybody like some tea cakes?
I'm good.
I'd like some, darling. Take your time bringing them out.
Okay.
So, James, seriously, what's the problem? Private jet to the board meeting's too small?
Oh, would you save the sarcasm for somebody who doesn't get it, like
the L word?
Did somebody say my first initial?
Lachlan, you know your brother, the former board member.
We're gonna miss you. The croissants, the special coffees, the jokes you heard on Kimmel the night before.
You always hang out here in your trunks?
Next in line for Emmanuel special.
He's the best.
I don't think I was ever invited to a massage a deux.
I'm assuming you're not quitting the board over lack of equal access to Emmanuel.
It's all in my statement.
You know, some of us might be too busy running the company to read your statement.
Okay, for the reading impaired, I realize the editorial stances of this company were out of alignment with my principles.
Or, all due respect, with, like, reality.
And you just figured that out this week.
It took that long for his wife to turn him into a certified tree hugger.
Why don't you leave my wife out of this?
Why don't you? We're running a business here, not a social justice NGO.
Maybe I shouldn't have let your mother raise you to compete for my love.
Oh, sir, you did right.
Boy, I guess I came back just in time. Tea cakes.
Look, James, it's not my fault the Disney deal didn't work out.
Yeah, the Mouse House has slightly higher standards.
Maybe I should just... Cake's getting cold.
The fireworks continue online. And keep up with Keeping Up with the Murdochs on our Instagram. It's not free.
Earlier in the now 35-year history of this broadcast, and this next one comes from a moment when Barbara Walters was still hosting The View. Barbara Walters, ask your dad. And on The View, one of the guests, and it's lost to Google who it was, had said something to the effect that Barbara Walters had had 82 facelifts because she looked so good. And Ms. Walters, as you might have expected, took exception to that claim. And this was the musical version of her taking that exception.
"82 facelifts may seem like a lot. Talk about wailing in the years. Tightening a tittle or smoothing a jot. Facing down all of my fears. It hasn't been easy, and it hasn't been fun, going through what I've gone through. But one thing I'm proud of, like a dad of his son, it's been 54, not 82. How could you have 82 facelifts? What could be left to lift? The scalpel can't be your constant companion. Surgery is a gift. If I had had 82 facelifts, my nose would be on the floor. My brow wouldn't furrow, my lips wouldn't bend. I'd look as bizarre as Liz Taylor's best friend. I take 2 hours to cut and a half year to mend. So I won't have 82 facelifts. I'm happy with 54. Who could perform 82 facelifts, seeing the same new face? You can remove that many wrinkles without something to put in their place. If I had had 82 facelifts, I'd have to go back for more. It would be as addictive as tobacco or crack. My skin would have been pulled halfway down my back. I'd be subsidizing an obvious quack. So I won't have 82 facelifts. I'm happy with 54. I'm happy with 54.
Cha-dookie-doo. I love you. I love you, yes, indeed. Well, whoa, whoa, baby, I love you. I love you, yes, indeed. You know that I want you and I need you too. I'll set the world on fire for you. Mm-hmm. Cha-dookie-doo. Cha-dookie-doo. I love you. I love you, yes, indeed. Don't you know, baby, I love you. Love you, yes, indeed. I'm gonna let you know just where you stand. But I wanna be your man. Mm-hmm. Cha-dookie-doo. Mm-hmm. Cha-dookie-doo. I need you, I need you, yes indeed. Don't you know, baby, that I need you, I need you, yes indeed. Your mama done told you close night and day, and don't you let that man get away. Mm-hmm. Cha-dookie-doo. Mm-hmm. Cha-dookie-doo.
2002 was the 30th anniversary of the Watergate break-in, the event that led inexorably, it now seems in retrospect, to the resignation of Richard Nixon from the presidency of the United States, the first and still the only president to resign the office under that particular kind of cloud or any other. And it was a momentous occasion. John Dean surfaced momentarily with the idea that he might know the identity of the mysterious Deep Throat. We don't, at this point, really know yet who Deep Throat is, but who knows why that may be. There's a tape. Of course there's a tape from Nixon in Heaven.
You get to Heaven, to your paperless office, this paperless office, that. Still can't find anything in this damn cloud. All about...
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
All about...
Shredding some prayer requests from my relatives.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yep. Have to adhere to the scheduler. It gets away from you.
Just like dental hygiene, really.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
What is?
Maintaining shredding discipline. You know, even here.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. You know, if these goody-goodies even knew you had a shredder up here, it'd probably, I don't know.
Sure, but convert it into an ice cream maker or something.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, probably. So, look, where's a book Dean wrote that was supposed to come out?
30th anniversary of the...
Yep.
The thing?
Look, you can say Watergate in front of me, Haldeman.
Well...
I can hack it.
Well, the book only came out online, on the internet.
Yeah. So it's not a real book.
Mm-mm.
You can hold in your hands or burn or whatever.
No.
Uh-huh.
Well, and besides, he never names Throat.
He doesn't.
No. Mm-hmm. He boils it down to five names, mm-hmm. and then he
cuts out.
Mm-hmm.
Just bugs out.
Yeah.
Always a little coward, wasn't he?
Well, of course.
Yeah. Yep. So. So after you buy and read the damn book, you can reuse it? That the idea?
How do you mean?
Erase the pages. Some such thing.
There are no pages.
Yeah, I'll say that's smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least little coward is getting smart. You know? No pages means, of course, it's harder to track.
Yep, there's that. But I don't think we have to worry about Dean.
Well, I mean... We said that before, remember?
No, I just mean...
He wouldn't dare squeal because he could smear his wife. And
I know.
Then where would he be, you know?
Yeah, right, but, right. It's just that... if he doesn't know who Throat is by now with a book deal on the line, he's never...
Well, now, of course, from what I hear, you see, it's not even a real book deal.
No, that's true.
So, there you go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's just...
So if we wanted to buy them all the books up and destroy them, you know, or whatever. Whatever. Yeah. We would have to buy just the one. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Just saying other anniversary-related events are more potentially ominous, maybe more deserving of robust response procedure.
Yeah, because these days, you know, firebombing Dean's office.
I don't think we have to.
I mean, that would be, piece of cake.
Research stuff is more of a problem.
These days, you just blame it on some Middle Eastern,
Well, I think that the gap research could...
The what?
The research on the 18 and a half minute...
The 18 and a half minute, whatever.
Right.
Who's doing what now?
Research to see if they can digitally reconstruct what was on the tape before it...
accidentally erased itself.
Yeah.
We still good with that? Accidentally erased?
Well, that becomes problematic if they can restore the erased material.
Mm-hmm. And well, what's the damn point of erasing it if you can restore it? Didn't anybody bring that up at the time?
Before the accidental erasure?
Damn right! I mean, what the hell kind of a ship were we running there anyway? I mean, restore the erasers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, were we really that stupid?
I think the technology has improved so much since then.
See, here's the thing. Not one member of senior staff pushed for best available technology on any accidental erasure.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, really water over the bridge now.
Sure. Water under the dam type thing.
Yep.
Could get one of our people over at Navy to fly one of their big magnets over wherever the tape is stored, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. I mean, just, just wipes the thing clean.
Yeah. But low-flying Navy magnet plane, sure to attract undue attention in the currents.
Could be an evildoer.
That's right.
Yeah.
It'd scramble a fighter squadron. There'd be...
No, you're right. Be a bad scene.
Mm.
All right. Just work on making those visions happen, all right?
Well, I'll talk to the people in records, see if we've got an approval.
Just get the damn approval, all right?
Yep, will do.
All right. Because I'd love to appear to Tricia and Julie, you know. Yeah. Tell them to stop fighting over the money.
Huh? That would scare the schlitz out of them.
Should have done it Dean's way.
Hmm?
Make a tape. But there's no tape.
Yeah. Right on it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for sharing with me the last few weeks of wandering through the recent past of Le Show. New Le Show's, completely brand new Le Show's, return next week on these stations and other outposts of audio entertainment. The email address for this program, the chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts and the playlist of the music heard here on all at harryshearer.com. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with this program. The producer and editor of this program was Tom Roach. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions, originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network.